The baby has been relieved of me. Sup with the Sup Playful Banter Podcast listeners. Back with you once again as spring has sprung. Is Kyle of Sammamish. And I'm Robbie of...
I appreciate you remembered that.
Of various places in California. No, we're sticking with Kyle of Sammamish. I think you should change your whole Twitter handle.
I don't hate that.
This needs to really be a branded part of your identity.
It's a lot of letters, though.
Sammamish. It should just... It sounds like someone's, like, trying to say sandwich and sneezes halfway through. Maybe that's how it was named to begin with. I don't know.
It does sound like a little kid, like, I want my sandwich, but you just had a couple of mams in there.
A couple what?
Mams.
Mams. Love it. Wonderful. And we would also like to welcome or welcome back members of Kyle's bachelor party who are probably only listening to this podcast because we are hiding some Easter eggs inside of this podcast and there's some incentives. So welcome on this episode of the podcast. We will be talking about what's trending. I've got some parenting tips. I've got some ranting to do. We're going to talk about days that we honestly just need to make a bigger deal out of. And we'll be talking Kyle's bachelor party part two, which is taking place tomorrow as we sit here. Kyle, are you pumped? You excited?
I am. I'm very excited. It was a somewhat of a surprise. And it was a pleasant one. I'm normally not one for surprises, but I enjoyed it.
Perfect. Yes. Get pumped. How pumped are you on a scale of 1 to 7 pandas?
I'd say I'm a good six and a half pandas pumped.
Wow. That's as pumped as I've ever heard you. 6.5 pandas pumped. Worth. Yeah. Also, full disclosure up here on the front of the pod before we get to how Kyle's living. You may hear the cooing / grunting / just general upsetness of a baby. That is because we have a third co-host today. He is almost 8 weeks old. He has a lot to say and doesn't know how to pronounce it. Big O is here. Little baby is
Big kind O. Of
in the... He's in the background, so you may hear him. Maybe you think it's cute for the first couple minutes, and then it gets annoying. Some would say that's parenting. So I don't think that. I love the guy. But
some will say
that it's cute for the first few minutes, and then I just wish that it would be quiet. And that's how a lot of people feel about babies in general, and I can get that. But Kyle, before we've talked about how Big O is living. How are you living?
I am living like a 3-year-old down comforter.
I don't really know what to do with that. You're feeling like... Yeah, told you he'd make noise. This is going to be fun. He was nice and quiet for planning. He has a lot of thoughts about Kyle and how Kyle may... be a 3-year-old down comforter. So maybe, I'm trying to also not have that be totally inappropriate. Maybe it's time to reassess. Maybe your style, has changed and evolved. You're starting to smell and you're starting to question whether or not this is really where you want to be. I don't know.
How often do you change your comforters?
You know, funny enough, we just changed our comforter for the first time. And really, it was just the cover. It was the duvet, which is a fancy word.
Yeah, but you're still using the same comforter, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like 3-year-old for comforter is not that old. You're making it sound like it's this old thing.
Well, I don't know. It lended itself in that direction. I don't know. Maybe let's flip it. Let's flip it then. Just like you flip a comforter sometimes, maybe you got to flip this. You're worn in, it's got your scent on it, but in a nice way, like it's comfortable, it's familiar. It brings you, like it says, comfort and calmness. You like to swaddle yourself up real tight and nice in it. Brings you warmth and happiness. You don't want to leave it in the morning. So, hey, you don't want to leave Kyle in the morning. It's cold out there. Kyle will keep you warm. Kyle will keep you nice and safe and cozy. Forget all that negative other stuff that I was talking about how Kyle basically wants to change his whole life now. I don't know. When you mention an object like that, I just automatically think of change as good. Mainly because I slept on a series of probably ugly comforters for my bachelor years there in college and whatever Target had on sale. It's kind of what I went with. So
yeah,
I think that was my perspective on that one. Did I nail it?
I'm to be honest, I think I'm more confused after your explanation than you are of what I said. So
well,
that's, we're all in the same spot now.
That's how most of my students feel on a regular basis, I think. Kyle, tell us who the woman of the week is.
Our woman of the week is Lucy Hicks Anderson, who was born in 1886 in Kentucky. From a young age, she wanted to present as female and said she wished to be called Lucy rather than her birth name, Tobias. Lucy was married to two men in her lifetime, fighting for her marriages to be accepted as legal and for her to be accepted as a woman. I should mention that Lucy is a trans woman. And so she was an early fighter for both marriage equality and transgender acceptance. She was accused of having lied under oath during her marriages by not disclosing that she was assigned a male at birth. But her response was, as this article says, powerful. She said, "I defy any doctor in the world to prove that I am not a woman. I have lived, dressed, and acted just as what I am, a woman."
Badass, Lucy. Yeah, we should have prefaced that. We did pick Lucy mainly because of the badassery that was just mentioned. But also this week was a week of celebrating trans individuals. And so we thought that that was appropriate to highlight one of those women as our woman of the week.
Should have mentioned that at the start, but we got there.
We don't do things in the right order. That's why I started with the bad interpretation of Kyle's comforter and flipped it and turned it into something real nice. Kyle, let's talk about what's trending. People from around the globe want to know our impressions and what we think of what has really got the internet tickled pink. The first and foremost, over the last couple of weeks, a lot has been made of this big-ass boat that decided to inadvertently park itself in the Suez Canal for, what, like a week?
Yeah.
What were your impressions of all that was going down in the canal? Tell us your hot takes.
When you first read the headline, you think it seems like a pretty boring headline, but then when you realize the implications of it, it seems humorous and also more of a big deal than you would think that it would be. I also like the name of the boat. I feel like that really helped make it more memeable, the Ever Given. But yeah, it's I'm glad that it's free. I imagine that, like, that's a job that nobody thinks about that I just would not want to do, is trying to get a very large boat through a very skinny situation. it's like driving a truck in a city. Don't want to do that. Like a semi-truck in a city. Don't want to do that either.
Yeah, it struck me that even in 2021 here, something as simple as a boat gets stuck in a canal is able to, like, shut down a huge part of the world economy for a week. Like, you would think we're so advanced and, like, we have so many ways to get around and trade and, you know, navigate and all these things that, yeah, I think I read it was a sandstorm paired with, like, you know, low visibility and big winds that were kind of pushing the boat around, and it just ran aground because they couldn't see where they were going. Mm-hmm. Like, all it takes in 2021 is a sandstorm and a bunch of wind and not being able to see, and, like, half the economy shuts down, it seems like. I mean, you just think that we would be a little bit farther along than that. It was kind of refreshing to know that there's still things that can just shut you down, right? I mean, you know, boats were having to reroute or just sit there for a long time and twiddle their thumbs while, you know, it was hilarious looking at the, I mean, you, I had no idea there were boats that huge out there, but you know, they had these laughably small in comparison little bulldozers and stuff trying to dig it out of the ground. And, which led to some really good memes too. I kind of wish that the name of the boat was funnier. Like, you know, some people really have a, you know, go in to name their personal boats something funnier or whatever. But it would have just, it would have been a nice example of irony if the Ever Given would have been something like consistency or perpetual motion, something like that, where you could have been like, eh, guess not. A good opportunity for comedy, and apparently they didn't consider that.
I feel like Ever Given kind of did give a good opportunity, though, because it's like, it's not Ever Given now, it's stuck.
Yeah, unstuck. That would have been good. We should just rename it. They should rename that boat now and then put it in the Boat Hall of Fame. Everybody knows about the Ever Given. Next thing that's trending, and I'm just learning about this now. Kyle, you're going to have to explain it to me because my interpretation of it's probably not accurate. Might be more entertaining, but not accurate.
I was going to say, I want to hear your interpretation first. What mine's is probably not 100% accurate. But
what is an NFT? Okay. So, I know what you're thinking. Nautically funny topics. We already covered that one, right? Naughty frankincense time. You know, you can pay extra for that. But no, NFT has something to do. I thought the T was tweets. Apparently, it's not just Twitter. It's other stuff on the internet. I also, you know, there's also a rapper, NF. I thought T might have just been like he's progressing like T.I. turned into T.I.P., Snoop Dogg into, you know, Snoop Lion or whatever the hell he is now. P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Puff Dragon, whatever. None of these things are correct. They're all great business ideas that I now have, especially Naughty Frankincense time. I think if I bought that URL, that domain, I could make a lot of money right away.
Just sit on that for a while and wait for it to.
Yep, with some of the more, with some of the more excitable essential oils crowd. I think there's a very powerful yet small niche of people there that would love Naughty Frankincense time. But can you accurately tell us what NFTs are?
Do you really not know what it stands for?
No, I don't.
It is a non-fungible token. So essentially what it is...
fungible? Did you make that word up?
Fungible? Non-fungible token.
So not like fungible, like a fungi, like a mushroom. So they invented a word, because that couldn't have been a word before.
No, pretty sure they did not invent that one. It's essentially like a digital trading card that you can make out of anything on the internet. So you when you own an NFT, you don't actually own the thing, you own like the NFT of it.
That's what's so stupid. It's like, okay, well, so the way I learned about this is I think Twitter's CEO sold an NFT of the first tweet.
Yeah.
Like first tweet in history. It sold for like millions of dollars. But that didn't cause the tweet, like, so that's net, like if I bought that, if I was stupid and bought that for $2.8 million. If I had that kind of money to throw away on dumb things, it's not like it belongs in my personal library and no one else can see it ever again. Nothing changes on the internet. So I don't actually know what I gain from purchasing part of the internet or that digital file, because it doesn't take it away from anybody else. That's the free market. I buy something so you can't have it. That's the foundation of life.
Well, you buy it and you have the only NFT of it. And so then the hope is that the value of that NFT goes up and you can eventually sell it for more millions of dollars and you win. So it's like when you have a Barry Bonds baseball card. You don't have Barry Bonds. You have a baseball card of Barry Bonds that people are willing to spend money for, because there's not very many of them.
And that's dumb too. I don't know. I've never seen the purpose of spending crazy amounts of money on cards either. But I guess I get that even a little bit more because there's only a finite, like if I have a rare Barry Bonds card and there's only like 80 of them in circulation, I have something that only 79 other people have. With an NFT, I have something that literally everybody else with the internet has the same access to. Like, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I just think it's dumb.
I agree. I mean, I think there's going to be, it's going to end up being, there's going to be a few NFTs that are super valuable that everybody's going to want. And then the majority of them that people are making are going to be worth absolutely nothing. But
I mean, it's not something you can show off either. Like, you know, you purchase like a Willie Mays signed baseball or something, and you put it on your mantle or your personal little museum, and you show it off when people come over. Hey, check this out. Look at my collector's item. What are you going to do? Like, have people walk over to your computer and check out this NFT? You're like, oh, yeah, I could pull that up on my phone. I could just Google it.
The question is, regardless of how stupid we think they are, how do we make some money off this? How do we NFT-ize ourselves so that people start paying money for we could NFT the first Playful Banter podcast episode.
We absolutely should do that. Highest bidder bid starts $5,000. What do you think the first bid should be, Kyle?
I mean, I think $5,000 is a fair market value. That may even be a good discount. Like we may be giving the loyal listeners a deal.
Here's our sales pitch.
Because once we're huge in 20 years, then that's going to be worth millions.
Do you want to have sole ownership rights to the podcast that was the world's slowest burn, the slowest build up to fame of any other digital entity that there is? Like, literally, it might take hundreds of years, but eventually this is going to explode, and this is your chance to officially say, I knew before everybody else, including the two idiots that made it, because I don't have nearly as much confidence in this taking off, but that's how greatness occurs.
We are like the surfer that's sitting in the water. It's like the first one there in the morning, and then you're there before the wave starts, and then the big wave comes, and like the podcast wave happened, and it just went right past us, and we were still just sitting there on our surfboard. There's probably going to be a few more waves that pass us, but if we sit there long enough, maybe we'll stand up at some point and ride a wave into the beach, and everyone's going to be cheering for us.
I think it's more likely that we'll be the last podcast left. It's like we were ahead of the curve, and then we were somehow quickly behind it, and then like we just got to catch the, like, it'll be retro one day to start a podcast, because it's almost like a boomer thing now. It's like, oh my god, they used to do this thing, how retro.
Listening to
cool.
A podcast would be like listening to a vinyl.
Yeah, it's like paying a crap ton of money to go play Miss Pac-Man now, you know, like now it's like an experience. And we'll still be here in the game, kind of by ourselves, playing with ourselves, which is not something I meant to say.
I like that. Our strategy is outlast.
Yep. Not outwith.
Or we outplay, lost the, just outlast.
In the survivor of podcasts, we're 0-2, but we still no one can keep us from leaving or staying, anyway. April Fool's Day was yesterday, Kyle. What's the best April Fool's Day prank that you've ever been involved in? In one way or another.
One of my favorite ones was when I was a youth and my mom short sheeted my bed on April Fool's Day to try and play the prank on me. And I was too short, so I didn't get to the short part of the short sheet. And I didn't even realize it happened. And she was so disappointed.
Oh, no. That's a great idea. I never even understood how short sheeted really works, but
yeah, I'm impressed. I couldn't do it to somebody if I would have to Google how to do it. This was before Google. She just did it, but I was too short for it to pay off. I was never a April Fool's Day person. When I was a kid, I loved the idea of April Fool's Day, but I would always forget about it until it was too late. But I like to play pranks, just like on random days. I was kind of an annoying kid. I put like the tape on the faucet so it'd spray you in the face, the saran wrap over the toilet, you know, all those ones.
Yeah, I could absolutely see you being that kid. Like, just evil entertainment. That's kind of how I imagine your childhood. Very maniacal. Along those lines, and this is about to get dark, by the way, people. This is about to get dark. But one year, my brother was a big Oakland A's fan. Baseball team, the Oakland A's. And I'm not. I'm a Giants fan. I'm an Angels fan. And so when we were kids, I want to say I might have been like 7th grade. He might have been like 3rd or 4th grade, somewhere in there. I decided, and this is going to make me seem like a very odd kid, but I decided to prank him on April Fool's Day by drafting, this is also how my mind works in terms of communication, I was going to draft a press release from the Oakland Athletics about how, like, their four best players all died in, like, a car crash or something. I told you it's dark, right? But genius. And he's in, like, fourth grade, so he's not going to know what a real press release or something looks like. So I opened a Word document, and I found their logo and put it at the top of the page. And I wrote this fake press release about, like, I think Frank Thomas and Nick Swisher. It was, like, that era of the Oakland Athletics. They were, like, all in a car crash the night before, and they all perished tragically, and I probably, you know, condescendingly put like thoughts and prayers or something like that. This is before the era of meaningless thoughts and prayers. I was the original. And I gave it to him in the morning. I don't think I told my parents any of this because they probably wouldn't have let me do it. And if they did, you know, I appreciate it, but probably not great parenting. He lost it. He was so upset. He started to cry. Like, you know, these are his freaking heroes, and they all happen to be in one car. And it was, I can't remember if I got in trouble for it or not. I should have gotten in trouble. But yeah, that might have been the last April Fool's Day prank I played. I think that was the mountaintop
for me. Yeah, I don't think any of my pranks ever made anybody cry.
Well, that's a mistake. We're both fans of The Office. What was your favorite Office prank? Like, a lot of their cold opens involved some Office pranks. What was your favorite?
I like the simple ones. I like the putting the nickels in the headset, and then all of a sudden he hits himself in the face.
I was disappointed we didn't get to see that one. He kind of mentions that one in passing, like in a long list of pranks. Mm-hmm. That's genius, though. Yeah, gosh, we could do a whole top five about that. But I remember I laughed the hardest, I think, at at him putting, like moving his desk and making a fake desk out of cardboard. And for wrapping it in for Christmas, and then he tries to sit on it and it all collapses. That was commitment. I also like the Pavlov, and obviously the Bears beats Battlestar Galactica, classic one of dressing up like Dwight and imitating him. Those might be two of my favorites, but there's so many good ones. It's remarkable. Kyle, what should we do next? You want to rant? You want me to rant, or you want to hear some parenting advice?
I think that you should rant first.
Okay, I'm going to rant quick, okay? I've noticed a trend. I hate this trend. Putting voicemails in songs, like voicemail recordings. I know that they're probably fake, but it's either creepy because you're like taking a voicemail someone left you and putting it in a song, or it's just weird. Like, it feels uncomfortable, like you have an unallowed glimpse into someone's private life. And even if it's fake, it feels wrong, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of, like, non-musical things in songs or even in albums. Like, I know it's a popular thing with a lot of rap albums to have, like, skits that go on, and there's very rarely do I actually enjoy the skits that happen in between the songs in a rap album.
In general, I will rant against any talking that takes place during a song. Like, there's even a country singer, I think that, like, his manner of singing is talking, and I don't like it. So, that's my rant.
All right. I'm not sure I would rant against it, but I'm not totally on the opposite side of you there. But I did enjoy you ranting while trying to parent, and so I want to hear your parenting advice.
Yes, the baby has been relieved of me, and I do think I worded that correctly. I think he was getting more annoyed with me than I was of him. He's like, why are we still standing here, and you won't shut up? So he was probably more frustrated than I was with him, but... one thing that I've noticed in the last week, Kyle, because just like that, he needs to be entertained. He can't move. He can't run. Like, he's totally at your mercy.
It's kind of a tough life.
And for those, like, 90-minute periods of time when he's awake, between naps, the kid wants to do stuff. Like, he wants engagement in some way. He doesn't want to just be bored for those amounts of time. And the Muse. The Muse is, like, the perfect... new parent, because she has like taught preschool and knows all these games and all these activities and all these songs. She knows all this stuff to do. And I am discovering very quickly, I know zero kids' songs in their entirety. Like, I know the first lines of several, and then I don't know what any of the lyrics are.
Go round and round.
Yeah, like
row, row, row your boat.
Those ones I got down, but like, you know, twinkle, some of the cuter
little
ones.
Star.
I don't even know if I know all that one. Or, I don't know if I... What's the one, Mockingbird? Mama's Gonna Buy You a Mockingbird? Like, I only know a few of those. And, like, if that mockingbird don't sing, you get the ring. But what comes after the ring? I can't remember.
I've always thought that was
Lullaby,
a terrible song. If the mockingbird doesn't sing, somebody gets a diamond ring. Like, what kind of a message is that?
You just looked for a word that rhymed and you didn't pay attention to monetary value, I guess. I'm going to buy you an NFT. I'm going to work that one into my song. But, like, you know, I know the, like, Baby Beluga, really cute song.
Oh, I love that song.
I don't know any of the words after that part of the Deep Blue Sea. Like, I know up to that, and then I just start making up words or humming, and he doesn't know the difference, but I still feel like he silently judges me, like, stares at me. He's like, you don't know what the hell you're doing. Like,
I think that's you projecting a little bit.
No, he's 8 weeks old and has the look of disappointment down. He's related to the Muse.
Your advice is to learn children's songs.
I know that I knew them as a kid, and I don't know any of them as an adult.
Do they have to be children's songs? Can you not like rap some Cardi B to him, or some Bon Jovi?
I could. There's a reason that kids like kids' songs, you know, whatever. At this stage, maybe that's not, doesn't matter, you know, because he doesn't have to learn them or anything. But, you know, I find myself singing, like, inappropriate songs. Like, we were upstairs singing the tequila song. No, that's not that song. What's the tequila song?
Tequila.
Yeah, but how does the rest of it go? I was just singing it.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, you just got to sing it a while before you get to tequila. But that was it. Yeah. And I realized that song started as me singing the lollipop song. The lollipop, lollipop, oh, lo-. And then in the ba-da-ba-da, I just went into tequila, probably out of habit. And that's where I ended. And I can't keep singing to the child about tequila. That's probably not setting himself up for success. So... I need to learn more children's songs. If you have a favorite children's song that you think I should sing to the child, hit us up. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Gotta know. Need advice. Need help. Fast. If you want to come and sing to the child and you're fully vaccinated and talented. little teaser, Kyle's going to sing the baby the Pokemon theme song later today. So I'm looking forward to that, and you should be too. Kyle, let's take a break.
The time has come for us to be back now.
You are steadily improving. That was like... James Earl Jones slightly before puberty, I think, when he had zero practice
I badly wish that I could get like real low. Like a nice low end bassy speaking voice.
For whatever reason, like, yes, we've got your Morgan Freemans and your James Earl Joneses and all of that. But to me, the voice that comes to mind when you talk about low is the Kool-Aid man. And I I think that's just a Pavlovian response to childhood. Like, that deep, oh, yeah. That was just, you know, that was childhood. Run through a wall. Like, that was deep voices for me.
Yeah, I think more James Earl Jones or the movie trailer guy. Like, in a world.
In a world. Bobby Newport. That's right. So, Kyle, our first game of the day. In the spirit of opening day. Kyle, happy opening day.
That was yesterday. But yes, happy opening day.
But that's a thing that people say to each other on opening day. Like, baseball fans say it to each other of happy opening day.
Oh, I was very excited.
It's like a holiday. It's like a holiday, which caused Kyle and I to think about other days that really should be treated more like holidays in the United States. Obviously, opening day, not a real holiday, but it should be. It should be on the calendar. People should observe it. And yeah, you should get more respect. The day should get more respect, which led us to what other days should be on the calendar. Maybe you get the day off. And, you know, people make a big deal out of it. So we're going to get listy with it. Top five days that should be celebrated more in the United States. Kyle, you want to start us off?
My first one is one that I'm considering implementing for myself. Just popping it on the calendar as a vacation day every year. I think it's the day after the Super Bowl should be a day off for everybody. We call it Super Bowl Observed, like every other Monday, and just like everyone, you had a nice little Super Bowl party, the game's over, and then they're just like straight to depression of like, oh god, I gotta go to work tomorrow right after this party. We need a break.
I love that idea. Super Bowl Observed is a perfect way to put that. I'm excited about Super Bowl Observed. It basically is a holiday anyway.
Yeah, so I think I may just start using my own vacation days for that. Just every year, Kyle's gone on the day after the Super Bowl.
Well, in a capitalistic society, let's face it, it makes sense because most people aren't super productive on Super Bowl Observed Day. People are dragging, depressed, as you mentioned, maybe hungover, oversaturated with carbs and fats and cheeses. Exactly. Nobody wants to be there. You don't have a positive work environment. We shouldn't be there. I'm with you. I think a positive day that needs to get more celebrated as in communities, first day of school, which is odd. It might be the only one on my list where I think that we should still have school, but
first day of school, you gotta get it off.
Yeah, how cool would it be? And yeah, adults shouldn't get it off either because that's backwards. But how cool would it be though if it was just normal in towns? Like, first day of, like, we're celebrating school. Like, going back to school is a positive, fun thing, not a dreaded day. Like, you got little parades going to the schools. Or, like, after school, as students come out, like, you know, different community members line the streets. Like, I think it would just make school more positive rather than, like, a negative thing. And I just, you know, it'd be fun to get people out there. And it's like, hey, happy first day back to school or whatever. I think it'd be cool.
I agree. I like that. That's a good idea. And I actually wouldn't even be opposed to adults getting it off, and they can like see their kids to school and then
get drunk during the day. Is that why?
So that when the kids come back, you're drunk. That's a great idea. And you're the parent.
Yeah. I'm here to pick you up from school. How was it? That's such a teacher answer, but that's what I said.
My second one is the winter solstice. Because from that point on, days are getting lighter. You've hit your spot and you're on an upward trend, and I like it. I think that's a day that I'm always excited about, and I feel like people don't share in my excitement when I try and get other people excited about it.
I like that you like are trying to celebrate the days getting shorter on the longest day of the year.
No, other way
like,
around.
It's just, I get it. Yeah, you know what I mean. Shortest day of the year, yes. Trying to get longer. Where you're like, hey, the sun's coming. And it's like, it's dark at 4:15. Shut up. Along those same lines, though, I think we should party more on daylight savings time. I know that I've talked a lot about daylight savings time, but if I were like in Alaska, and I think people might do this, which maybe is where I got the idea, but like, you know, you're in the land of the midnight sun, right? And that like, if I was in Alaska that first time in the summer when the sun officially never sets, like it's just light for 24 straight hours. So kind of the opposite of the day that you're talking about. Like on that day, everybody should be outside late at night, staying up the whole night, partying, being outside, taking in the sun, like taking advantage of it. I think mm-hmm. on daylight savings time, we should have it where people are taking advantage of that extra hour. It's like a get outside. It's a day where everybody, kind of like Memorial Day, where you got barbecues and, you know, picnics and like, it's a get outside and enjoy the sun day. I think that's an appropriate day for that. Maybe that's on the summer solstice. I don't know. Maybe you just flip yours. I like that one better.
Yeah. I mean, the issue with doing it on daylight saving time is oftentimes the weather could be inclement. But
okay, I'm switching it. Summer solstice, longest day of the year. Everybody's outside all day.
But my third one was, I think that the day after daylight saving time, when you leap forward, I think I needed an extra day to adjust to that loss of an hour. I think that day should be off too. It's like daylight savings observed, Super Bowl observed. Just give me more Mondays like off.
Yes. Every Monday should just be an observed holiday or something. Sunday observed. That's what every Monday should be. I think the first 2 days of March Madness need to be respected more. I think a lot of workplaces and schools and stuff like to have some fun around that. So maybe you don't cancel those things, but it certainly needs to be a day that's more universally celebrated and productivity goes out the window and everybody just gets to sit and watch all the games.
I agree. I thought about putting that on my list, but I don't want a day off for it because I like that you can go there and go to work or school and still kind of be accepted that you're just watching basketball. But yep. I do think it should be more, you're right, more acceptable. Like just nothing should be expected of anybody on those days.
Amen.
My fourth one is the one that we do, or except for last year because of COVID, but Adventure Day.
Mm.
I think everybody needs to have an Adventure Day in the year.
I think
I'm not sure it should all be on the same day because then transportation would suck, but I think everybody should be required to take an Adventure Day.
Oh yeah, it's like when you enter in an absence or you're missing from work or whatever, you've got sick day category, personal day category, adventure day category. And it's yes. like it's a federal rule that every workplace has to give you one adventure day per year.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be so. This is our platform. This is a Great Kingland exclusive.
Great Kingland's going to have some great holidays.
Speaking of that. Great Kingland doesn't have elections. We make all the decisions. But in the United States, there is elections, and I think that we need to take it a little bit more seriously and have that be a much more serious party. It's like, let it be a celebration that some places, you get the day off work. It should be universal. Nobody works on election day. You go and vote. You go to a barbecue. Like, I want polling places to be cool, fun places to be. Like, you go in, you vote, you come out, you get a beer, you get a hot dog, set up a camping chair, hang out with your friends, celebrate the fact that you just voted. Have it be fun. Have it be it should be a holiday.
Yeah.
Really? Like, that one's on the calendar, but we don't treat it as such. It's almost like an obligation to, like, leave work and go vote or whatever. Like, have it be fun. And obviously, everybody's trying to make rules so that, obviously, you can't even vote if you want to or make it as difficult as possible. We're changing that. It's going to be a party. Yeah. It's going to be fun. We're going to have great turnout. Everyone's going to be drunk when the winner is decided as it should be. Winner, lose, you booze. That's what election day should be.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Election day should. I've always thought it should be a day off, but I like the addition of the parties.
Yep. I want parties to be just normalized much more often and obligatory throughout the year.
My last one is Free Pancake Day. There's been too many years that have gone by where I did not know it was Free Pancake Day until it was too late to get pancakes or the day had passed. And I want that to never happen again. I think that it should be a big deal. I think it should be everybody gets maybe a half day so you can go get pancakes whenever you need to. Mm-hmm. People need to know about Pancake Day. There should be a countdown, 3 days till Pancake Day.
You decorate for it. You put decorations up around your house.
Exactly.
Bunch of people pancake
get excited. You're in Pancake Day spirit.
Yeah. Are you just talking IHOP's Pancake Day? Or is there a National Pancake Day?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that I'm thinking of. But I think everybody should adopt it. Pancakes.
Yeah, I think in that spirit, much like how the Spirit Halloween stores just take over open storefront areas to sell Halloween costumes, on Pancake Day, IHOP should just be allowed to expand into every available real estate space so that more pancakes can be served to more people. Book it. Last one, Groundhog Day. But I'm tired of the groundhog. It's stupid. It's small. I like the fact that it bit somebody this year. I thought that was entertaining. But I like Groundhog Day, the idea of it. Like, everybody comes out and pays attention to an animal. Like, I just like that premise of it.
Groundhog Day, but I'm tired of the groundhogs.
Yeah, get rid of the groundhog and get me, a baby polar bear. And, just everybody on that day starts live streaming a video of a baby polar bear playing around. I don't give a crap about the shadow, even, honestly. If we got to use that as a reason, that's fine. Whatever. Nobody actually cares about that either because it's total BS. But I just want it to be a day where it's normal. Everybody gets sent a link in the morning and we all watch. We just watch a baby polar bear pounce around for a while. This is what I want.
Groundhog Day, but take out the groundhog and take out everything that the day represents. and sub in polar bears. And
I love Groundhog Day, except all the specifics of the day. And I want to change those. So that's what I believe. All right. So those are all days that we need to take more seriously in this country. And if you put us in charge, we can promise you, just honestly, your lives are going to get better. It's a no-brainer to me. Mm-hmm. Kyle, tomorrow, as we sit here, tomorrow is your second bachelor party. First bachelor party, a lot more extravagant, a lot more buildup. We flew across the country. We got you moonshine drunk in several places. I publicly injured myself. You know, all of the standard bachelor party things.
I fell off a bull, mechanical bull.
That's true, yes. Stayed on there longer than I thought. I think that they didn't fire that sucker up to the speed that I felt was justified. If I were in control, we would have had an even more interesting time. Great bachelor party. But then a wrench got thrown into it, much like the rest of 2020. That honestly might have just been the best part of 2020. We kind of peaked very early. In 2020.
We did, in February.
But the wedding got bumped back a year, and it just felt kind of silly that you're getting married at the end of this month, and your bachelor party was over a year ago. So we felt compelled to give you bachelor party part two, dos. We're not flying anywhere. Shockingly, we're still at a place in this pandemic where we can't really do all that much, but we could do a little bit, and we are going to. So we've got a fun little day planned, pretty low key, but a good group, good plan. What are your feelings? What are your excitements? What part of the day are you most excited for?
All of it. I'm just excited to see people. These are all people that I like a lot. I'm excited to play golf because I like to golf a lot. I'm excited just to hang out because I like to hang out with these people. It's good. And I'm excited that the weather seems to have cooperated. Because when you first sent over the itinerary, it looked like it was going to be a little sketchy. But now, hopefully, it seems like we're moving towards a better situation with the weather.
Yep, we shall knock on wood. But that I agree with you on that. At this point in the pandemic, too, just any gathering of people, we will do so safely, but any kind of social event whatsoever seems like a really big deal. which I'm very excited about as well.
We hung out in our friend's backyard last weekend, and the day afterwards, I lost my voice almost because I hadn't talked that much to people in like a outdoor setting for that long.
I know. I'm with you. I get it. So we wanted to spice it up a little bit, though. We wanted to add another layer to this party. And what better way to do that than prop bets? We got to put a few stakes on the line. And since the majority of us do not have very much money, what is on the line is behavior, essentially. So Kyle and I, before this podcast, have set up a series of prop bets. And let's just run through them, Kyle. And then next podcast, we'll run back and we'll say, here's how these things went. And maybe we'll think of some more along the way. First one's a hole-in-one. The day starts with golf, so we've got a couple golf ones off the bat.
Yeah, I've played golf a lot in my life, and I've never hit a hole-in-one. But if it does happen, if somebody hits a hole-in-one, they get to choose somebody else in the group that has to jump into the water.
That's right. As should be law, really. This is just
draft at a law. Just a golf rule.
Yeah, and even if you're just playing by yourself, by law, you should just get to point to someone else at the golf course and say, that person is in the lake. Go. I like that one. My brother infuriatingly hit a hole-in-one when he was like 12. He hit it with a driver. There has to be only a few people on earth that have hit a hole-in-one with a driver.
On a par three.
On a par three, yeah. And by God, he is one of them. And to this day, I hear about it regularly. But anything possible, Kyle. Tomorrow may be your day.
After you made him cry on April Fool's Day, I think it's fair he got the hole in one.
maybe it's retribution. He only believed, like, I only let him believe it for like 10 minutes or something, but still. I'll take it. I'm proud. A pretty standard prop bet. If you lose a ball, which I'm going to get a workout because I think we're going to do about 5 push-ups every time you can't find a ball. Now, if you find someone else's ball while you're looking for your ball, they can cancel out, maybe, right? Is it a net gain? What if you get to award push-ups if you find a ball?
I don't think that's how we should do it.
I'm just trying to find a way out of push-ups because with my slice... buy stock in golf balls. This is the one that's going to require those participating to listen to this podcast. This is the Easter egg you've been looking for. On the third hole, you must stand in the third tee box and proclaim, "Never fear the bacon." If you do not do this, or if you are the last person in your group to do this, you must play the rest of that hole with your shirt backwards. Your father is probably exempt from this because I'm not sure he even knows what podcasts are. But everybody else has to listen.
He's just started listening to podcasts. He just has not listened to ours.
So
he listens to Smartless.
And Kyle, I think we'll be in separate groups maybe at this point at least. If somebody tees off and nobody has done it, then you get to call it out and make whoever you want wear their shirt backwards because they didn't listen. What's next?
This is one of my favorite ones just because I like the catchiness of it. Worst round, first round. Mm. It rhymes, so it's got to be good. Whoever has the worst round of the game has to buy the first round of drinks.
Which means that scorekeeping now... Yeah, scorekeeping now comes into play in a much more real way. I imagine that this will only really strike fear into the hearts of, like, myself. I don't even know, like, maybe Alex. I don't know. You're not going to have to worry about this. You can only benefit from this one, I think.
That's another reason why it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, you do love those kind of rules. That can only positively impact you. Kind of moving on, later into the day, it's not just golf. If at any point you spill a beverage on the course, at lunch, or at Kyle's house, you spill a drink, you have to do the worm at Kyle's house. Don't do the worm on the golf course. We want to finish the round. But we will keep a tally of how many times you have to do the worm if you spill. That one's pretty standard and simple. The other one that we have is if you lose a lose one of the yard games. So we got like ladder ball, bocce ball, cornhole, snappa, whatever. If you lose at any of these, whoever beat you is your king for 1 hour, which means they no longer have a name other than my king. So if Kyle beats me, may happen at something, for the next hour, if I want to talk to him, I have to refer to him as my king. So if I want Kyle to grab me a drink, my king, can you give me a beer? Stuff like that. Maybe this also applies to like Mario Kart or something. Any of the N64 games. Super Smash Bros.
Mm-hmm.
You play enough games, pretty much everybody's going to be everybody's king. And I like
that. It's going to be pretty confusing when everyone's just my king and they don't have a name.
Or maybe you get to create your own title. It's like you get to call me Sir Buffalo Pants. I don't know. Something like that. You get to decide what your title is.
You got to create your own title and you came up with Sir Buffalo Pants?
I'm on the spot. I'm embarrassed. I wish we could edit it out, but since you're the editor, I know there's no chance that it gets edited out, and likely it's probably going to be at the very beginning of the show. which is a horrifying reality that I choose to live in. Are there any other prop bets that you would like to place? Like any, maybe even just parts of the day that you're like, there needs to be more stakes in this part of the day?
No, I think that's a good list. I think that we should have the right to come up with more throughout the day, because I feel like once you get in a group, people start to get more creative. So I think that's fine.
Once people start drinking, you get more creative.
That too.
Yeah. Okay, so come prepared, maybe with dream on it, think on it, and we will report back next week, next podcast, how this goes. We want a full recap of the party. Kyle, we're going to take one last break, then we're going to wrap this sucker up, but don't go anywhere because Kyle is going to perform a haunting rendition of the Pokemon theme song for my child and for anyone crazy enough to have not heard this song before.
I'm not excited about this.
And I am the transition puffin, and we are back. Kyle, I realized in re-listening to the last podcast that we were talking about the transition puffin, and I mentioned that it stemmed from a character in Happy Feet 2. And I said one of the dumber things I think I've ever said on the podcast, which is saying something. I believe what I said was, the transition puffin comes from a penguin in Happy Feet 2. And I listened back and I was like, are you kidding me? I literally just said the puffin is based on a penguin. Very different, and that probably insulting to most puffins. So I apologize.
I was wondering when you said it, but I also figured maybe you just meant like it was kind of inspired by... I've never seen Happy Feet, so I thought maybe there was a penguin in Happy Feet that had a similar accent.
That was named Puffin? No. it was literally a puffin that talked like that, and that's where it comes from in my head, and I just totally called it a puffin that's based on a penguin, which makes no logical sense. No one else probably caught it, but I thought I should own up to it. Speaking of that, after watching Surf's Up, I told you to watch Bright, which was a random-ass movie I found on Netflix starring Will Smith. Did you watch it?
I did. I did watch it in its entirety. It wasn't a short movie. It was kind of what you would expect, which is weird because I didn't know what to expect going in. But it was like a cop fantasy gangster movie.
So it's a
world where Will Smith is a cop and his partner is an orc, and orcs are kind of like a lower class in this movie. I think it's supposed to be a metaphor for racism, and so like the orcs are all kind of mad at this one orc that turned on them to become a cop, because you're not supposed to become a cop if you're an orc, evidently. There's also elves. It's a very strange movie, and my issue with it was that when to do fantasy movies right takes a lot of time, because you're building a whole world. Like, it took 8 Harry Potter movies, it took 3 very long Lord of the Rings movies. Like, it takes some time, and they just didn't have the time in this movie to set the world. So everything that happened, just like, why is this happening? But I mean, it was entertaining. I have 2 favorite quotes that I wrote down. One is a little exchange. The orc that's the cop says, "She's speaking Elvish." And Will Smith says, understandably, "I don't speak Elvish." And the orc responds, "I took 2 years in high school." And for some reason, that really made me laugh as I was watching this movie by myself. And the second quote, "If you are under age, you should plug your ears." But Will Smith says, "We're gonna titty bar gunfight die." And using titty bar gunfight as an adjective is just phenomenal writing.
I feel like that quote, "We are gonna titty bar gunfight die," is based off of a Jaden Smith tweet. Like, if Jaden Smith got to write one line of this movie, I think that was it.
I give this movie probably a 3 pandas.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not mad for watching it, but I wouldn't say anybody has to go watch it.
The way you explain it makes me think that a couple of guys got super high and watched Lord of the Rings and thought to themselves, what would happen if these characters were in like modern day? Like, what would that be like? And then they made it a freaking movie with Will Smith.
Yeah, so that seemed like that's what happened.
All right, what's the next round?
So I asked our press secretary, secretary of the media, and she pulled a Michael Scott. And you know the scene in The Office, this is a very niche reference, which you will probably get, but most people won't, when Michael's driving Aaron for secretary today, and they're listening to an audiobook.
Push by Sapphire?
Yes, but it's the novelization of the movie Precious, based on Precious, the book Push by Sapphire.
That's true.
So she wants you to watch Precious.
Okay.
Which I think is available on Hulu or Amazon.
Okay, I'm on it. Precious. And that will be how I introduce it next podcast, is I watch Precious based on the novel Push by Sapphire. That I will do it justice, I promise. All right. What order do you want to close this show out in? Kyle, you want to sing, or you want to do birthdays and tweet and then send us out with a song?
I can send us out with a song. That way people can turn off the podcast before actually having to listen to me sing.
No, they're going to start calling everybody they know into the room to listen.
Happy birthday to Quavo from Migos. He's turning 30 today. And Marvin Gaye would have had a birthday today if he was still with us. Jaden Smith tweet O the week on March 18th. He wrote, "Miss one text, she gets pissed again."
Ain't it the truth? Not really though. But hey, whatever, Jaden, trying to be relatable. I get it. Okay, everybody, gather round your family, your friends, everybody you know, call in your neighbors, tell them to come listen through the window. Because something memorable is about to happen right here. Kyle loves the Pokemon theme song. I've heard him sing it at karaoke before. But he's got a ook, which is exciting right now.
Yeah, you've said that this is supposed to be a haunting rendition. But what I have here is a ukulele. So we'll see how haunting it gets. But I mean,
ooks can be anytime, haunting.
Anytime I sing, I'll be haunting.
Yeah, they can be haunting. You do have to somehow work Never Fear the Bacon into the end of this song.
Oh, I do. You just keep adding rules here.
Well, that's how it works. That's why there's only 2 of us here. We just get to... We have too much power.
Okay. I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Teach Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon, it's you and me. You know it's my destiny. Pokemon, ooh, you're my best friend, and you never fear the bacon.